Hello. If you've tried all the usual dating tips and tactics and you're still meeting those same kinds of men and you've noticed a pattern of attracting those men who might be more feminine than you, who don't want commitment, or those that you have to fix, rescue, or maybe they dominate you, you need to listen to this episode. It is going to change the way you approach men. Hey, my name is Michelle Chung, and I'm a live manifestation expert, which means I help women manifest their soulmate live in person, offline, and I help career-driven A-type alpha women find their man so they can have the amazing, committed, and effortless relationship they deserve. So I just finished reading The Biology of Belief. You may have heard me talking about it in the previous episode. And wow, this book is really blowing my mind. It was mentioned to me from my business mentor, and I think I'd heard it from some other people as well, some very highly spiritual people, and also very highly successful people. And I was just kind of biding my time until I read it, and I thought, okay, the time is now. And I started reading it, I think, last month, and I literally just finished it yesterday. It was a rainy day, and Sunday it was an awesome time to snuggle down with my cat on a blanket and read it and finish it. And yeah, it's just really changing my mind on how we actually go about life and how we actually get results in our life and how much we actually struggle and fight using our willpower, and that it is so futile compared to the power of our subconscious mind. So I'm going to be talking a lot about this subconscious programming and how to rewrite your programming, as I talk about in my online program, Manifest Love. It's phase two to actually manifest your partner is to rewrite, and that's rewriting your subconscious programming. So the thing is, you might not want to hear this, and I know I didn't when I was single for 5 years and I was doing everything I could. I was listening to all the gurus. I was looking at all the dating tips. I was watching everything on Instagram, and I was just trying my heart out to find the right guy. You know, I was doing all the right things, going, you know, getting myself out there, going on dating apps, going to networking events, going to social events, trying to meet people through friends, friends of friends, that kind of stuff. You know, I actually even paid for some really expensive dating apps, thinking like the luxury ones, thinking, oh, well, if they've got money and they pay for this and they're not going on those free apps, then they must automatically be better quality, high value men, right? And I couldn't be more wrong. Those apps that I paid for that were the expensive ones, they were just the same weirdos, but with more money. I remember one guy I'd met, he was from, I think, Switzerland in Zurich, and he said that if I wanted to visit him, I could come and stay at his house. And I was like, well, you know, that's a bit too forward. I haven't even met you yet. And turns out he had 8 bedrooms in his house. But that didn't stop him from being very weird. And yeah, definitely blocked that that future. I don't think it would even be in a future relationship. And yeah, even another guy from Sweden that I'd met online. And I thought, oh, he's got style. He looks really interesting. He's a doctor. Might be a bit more conscious and a bit more open-minded, and no. So anyway, my experiences on the dating apps was very interesting, kind of futile in terms of energy expenditure versus actually return on investment of my time. But anyway, just some funny stories there. But I guess like people do meet on dating apps, and it has happened. I do have a friend who's met his wife and they have a baby. It's just one of those rare scenarios. So I guess it's like what I want to present to you is, what is the most leveraged, what is the most quickest, fastest, most efficient way that you can meet your soulmate without having to go through all that heartache that I did for the 5 years that I was single. Because you know what? I've made all those mistakes. I did all those things that, you know, I can tell you don't really work. So what does work? So, okay, back to the book. What I found really does work is just looking at your subconscious programming. So if you know, if you've been trying to cut the dating process short and you think by tweaking things, like going to a different kind of place, trying a different app, and this is going to help you lead you to better quality men, it's tweaking, but in the wrong area, right? So if we know the Pareto's principle, the 80-20 rule, do what works and tweak on that path that works, right? So if the dating thing hasn't been working for you, don't go tweaking in that area because you're just going to be wasting your time in the wrong area. So what does work is working on yourself. As we know, personal growth is the way to really anything in life, to your business, to your health. It's all about your mindset. I know you've heard it like a million times on Instagram and everyone else talking about mindset and, you know, what the hell is this mindset thing? And it can seem too lofty and unachievable, like, and invisible, intangible, right? That, you know, and you might be someone like me who wants the action-oriented, the tangible things that you can actually take action and do. So this, what I'm proposing here about reprogramming the subconscious mind really is the way to go. It is the most leveraged way that you can find your partner, meet your soulmate, manifest, and actually have it happen for you. Okay. So, basically, okay. So just to recap a little bit more about the book, after finishing the book, wow. The first part of the book, as I mentioned in the earlier episode, it talks about the more scientific process about cell biology and how each cell, each individual cell is almost like an intelligent thing on its own because the membrane of the cell acts like a brain. It is able to move and is attracted towards things that are like energy, and it can also repel from things that are toxic and dangerous for its survival. So what does that sound like? Sounds like us, doesn't it? The cells are us. We are made out of those 50 trillion, I think, cells, and we are a collection of those cells. And so we behave in the same manner as our cells. We are attracted to things that are beautiful, that are love, that are, you know, good for us. But we also repel against things that are toxic, although with our human will and our human ability to choose, we tend to choose the wrong thing. So why is it that we're choosing the wrong thing? Well, technically, okay, I'm going to let you off the hook. It's not actually your fault. In the book, and a lot of psychology will tell you that you inherit the programming of your parents up until the age of 6. So if you were in a foster home or if you were in a different environment up until the age of 6, you acquire the inherited, you inherit those beliefs and behaviors of the people around you up until the age of 6, if it was your parents or if it was other people in your life at that point, right? And there have been many people who say, oh, I think it was even in the Bible, and he's quoted it in the book, give me a child up until the age of 6 or 7, and I will turn him into a man, into the man that he will become. So even back then, they knew that the programming that you give to a child will set them up for life. So if you're a parent, then, you know that you didn't do anything wrong. It's only if you are not consciously aware of the habits that you're imprinting on your children. And, you know, as soon as you're aware, you have a choice. You can do something about it. Okay. Now, it's not your parents' fault. Don't go blaming your parents like we all did. Like, oh, I had a screw up childhood. So, you know, that's how it is. It's, you know, my parents did it to me. I know we all kind of went through that. And it can be, you know, make you feel good, but it's not going to solve the problem. So in my program, I also talk about absolute responsibility. So taking responsibility for those things, even though they were, you know, I guess put onto you and that you had no control of it as a child. And I guess what you take away from that is now that, you know, when you have children, and if you already have children, then you can do something about it for your children and their children and their generations going forward. So we can absolutely change. We can, you know, defy this nature versus nurture argument. Nurture is such a huge component of how we can change and we can transform. And so, okay, went off on a tangent. So yeah, basically the book will, the later part of the book will go on to talk about the biology, the actual biology of belief and how it actually works. So we have our subconscious mind and we have our conscious mind. So our conscious mind is used to get the new data, I suppose, to say you want to drive a car. You know, you study it, you learn it, but you don't put it into your conscious mind until you practice it, until you implement it. That's why a lot of people who do programs, they watch all the videos, but they don't do the exercises. They don't implement it. They don't get the results that the program is designed for. So I know a lot of people, they get burnt because they buy lots of programs, they watch them, but they don't do anything about it. They don't do the exercises and they don't implement into their life. So imagine you're trying to learn to drive a car. You've read the manual, but you never actually practiced. You never went and took driving lessons. You never had someone come and practice with you. And then you never took those steps to break through that fear barrier of driving on your own. Okay. I know this because I'm driving in Europe. It's on the right-hand side. I am from Australia and I grew up driving since I was 16 on the left-hand side. So I had to break through that fear barrier and implement driving on the right-hand side with the driver's seat in the other side of the car. So I had to break through that fear barrier of implementing that. Otherwise, I would never be able to do that for myself and put that into my subconscious programming. Okay. So once you've implemented into your conscious mind and you do it repetitively, you do it over and over until it becomes a habit, right? That's when it sinks from your conscious mind into your subconscious programming. So now you realize, if you've been driving a car for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, doesn't it become automatic? Like you change lanes, your head automatically looks to the mirrors, to your blind spot to check and see if there are cars. And you wonder and you go, oh, I got from home to work and I didn't even consciously think. I was just on autopilot. I was doing it like almost like a reflex, right? So that's how you program your subconscious through the conscious mind first, okay? The problem is that most of the time it never gets to the subconscious program, or that there's an old program that needs to be shifted first before you can input the new programming. That's why in my program, phase one has to be letting go of all that old programming. And phase two is about reprogramming and putting in the new computer software. Otherwise, you don't have any mode of operation to follow, okay? Can you start to see how powerful the subconscious mind is? Because it is actually what drives most of your behavior. And that's why willpower, it doesn't work. And in the book, actually, there was a really interesting, he speaks about David Helfgott. He's an Australian pianist, and he grew up in, his parents were from Holocaust times. And in his childhood, he was imprinted that being unseen and being safe was to hide. And to be an artist in the world and a musician, you have to show your skills to people in order to be successful, right? And so his subconscious programming of having to hide was greatly conflicting with his conscious programming of I need to follow my purpose. I need to follow and be out there in the world and share my music with everyone, with the world. And apparently in the movie Shine, which in the book Biology of Belief, he references the movie as well, that David Helfgott, after he completes his most incredible, most complicated piece by, I think, Rachmaninoff, he goes insane, literally, because of the conflict between the subconscious and the conscious mind. He was literally forcing himself to override his subconscious programming, which was about safety and not being seen and hiding, that it created this insanity, okay? That's how powerful the subconscious programming can be if you don't shift that first. Not saying that you're going to go insane. This is a very extreme case. So, how can you actually shift that programming? How can you know what is running the show? Well, have a look at your life. Your life will be your current environment is the direct result that your subconscious programming has been giving you all this time, okay? So if you had a program of I'm not worthy, I know I have a lot of women, a lot of clients who come to me who have this very deep subconscious program, I'm not worthy of love. I'm not deserving of love because my mother treated me this way. My father wasn't there for me. A lot of these childhood traumas that you may have gone to therapy for and that, you know, you might rehash in each therapy session. But, you know, I guess the issue with therapy is that there is no reset of the subconscious program. It's simply just rehashing the past. Okay. By the way, I'm not a licensed therapist or anything, but I, from what I've learned about therapy, this is, you know, this is how it works and this is how it's seen to heal people. Okay. So phase one of my program is to actually release, to recognize and become aware of what is actually running the show. What is that subconscious program that was imprinted on you, into you as a child? So in my model, the love journey model, I talk about also when you're a child, you learn the habits and behaviors of your parents or the people around you. And when you go into your first relationships, you go into what's called dependent relationships because you have learned to rely on your parents as a child for survival, for love, for shelter, for food. They gave you everything. So unless if your parents have imprinted on you as a young child to be independent, to have more conscious beliefs, you go into your first relationships thinking, oh, just like I did, I'm looking for my other half to complete me. And that's very much the way I saw relationships from in my early years, and pining for somebody because I felt like I was lonely or missing something. Okay. So the first phase of my program is to actually recognize what are those things that are keeping you stuck in these dependent relationships. Because if you are attracting narcissistic men, perhaps you learnt as a child that you didn't have, you weren't able to speak up, or you weren't able to say what you felt, or you were, you know, admonished for saying how you truly felt. And, that if someone dominating you, if someone impounding on your, going into your boundaries was normal, then you would keep attracting these narcissistic men into your life, okay? And it's like that thing when, I guess, animals, they smell fear. It's the same thing with humans. When we feel an energy of somebody that they're giving out, that, oh, this person's, you know, a doormat, she's a walkover, those kind of narcissistic guys will be attracted to that and go, well, this person fits my dependent style. We fit together and all of a sudden you need each other. Okay, do you see how this works now? The same thing that I went through. I had a huge breakthrough. I had this dream and I woke up and I was crying. I was in tears. And what I recognized from that dream was that I had to be very masculine. I had to be very protective of myself when I was a child because I was a lot more sensitive to the people than the people around me. And I felt criticized. I felt like I had to protect myself because I couldn't truly be myself for fear of being teased, for fear of being, you know, called that I was too sensitive, that I was not normal or something like that, right? So that feeling of having to protect myself as a child created this very overly masculine behavior, this protection mechanism, this armor, right? And I've brought that into my adult life, into my first relationships, into my marriage. And that's why I attracted more feminine men than me. I was always the one who was taking charge, making the decisions, leading the relationship. And eventually I was like, ah, this is not this. I'm tired of this. I'm exhausted of being the one who's looking after everyone else. If you've ever felt that, you're probably going through the same thing I did. So when you notice these things, you notice and you reflect on the results you've been having in your life and you start to see this pattern, then this awareness can create true and lasting change. And so in phase two of my program to rewrite. This is where you start to rewrite your subconscious programming. And you can start to get creative and you can start to say, well, you know what? I want to try this. I want to have this kind of relationship instead. So who would this kind of person be in order to have this kind of life? And it's that be, do, have that some, mentors have. I know Jim Fortin talks about it a lot in his transformational programs. Who do I have to be? And what do I have to do? What are the actions I need to take in order to have this kind of life, in order to have this kind of relationship? So if you want to have that effortless, loving, committed relationship with your soulmate, what does your identity have to shift towards in order to be that woman? For example, you might be, loving your single life. You've kind of let go of the idea that you're going to meet somebody or that you need to meet somebody to feel fulfilled. And that's an amazing space to be. But it also might bring you into a lifestyle where that's not conducive to be in a relationship, that you have too many things going on in your life. I know that a lot of people in London and Sydney and lots of other capital cities in the world, there's a lot of stuff going on in the big cities, a lot of activities you can do, and constantly filling up your schedule with yoga and, classes and parties and dinners and meeting people. And that's great. It's a full life. But also there's no time and space to receive someone in your life. And that's the third phase of my program. So these three phases, step by step, are the best way I've found to actually manifest and bring someone into your life. Because if not done in these steps in this order, you might find that you're getting some results, but not the results that you want. Like you may already be attracting amazing men, but they're just not right for you. There's just something that's not right. And I know I went through this as well myself. I'd attract amazing guys, but there was just something not right. Like the last relationship I had before I met Raf was an amazing, lovely Spanish guy. And, I knew that he was a great guy, but for somebody else, not for me. It was not the lifestyle that I wanted. There was something missing in my process that, he ended up actually being more similar to my ex-husband. And I was like, okay, I'm continuing this pattern somehow. Why? Where is the hole in my process that I need to fill, that I need to fix, that I need to identify before Raf came into my life, right? So it became, it's fascinating how this process can be, it can be very step-by-step, it can be logical and can be followed. And it's not just random. It's just like a process in business. And I like to use a lot of concepts that link to business and entrepreneurialism. Things are not just random. You can create a process, you can create a structure, and it's the same thing for love and relationships. Meeting the right guy doesn't have to be random. It doesn't have to be a coincidence that he comes into your life. You can actually create that environment, that platform to receive him into your life. So that the right guy comes into your life and not just by coincidence or chance. Okay. If you want to learn more about how this all works, make sure you check out my webinar. I go through the three phases of what you need to do to manifest your soulmate. And I also talk about what manifesting is and how that actually works. So please check it out. Any questions, make sure you DM me on Instagram. The links are in the show notes below. And I hope you enjoy this episode. Let me know also in the DMs any other topics that you're interested in, if I haven't explained anything clearly enough or if there's something of interest of you that you'd like to know. Please let me know. I look forward to hearing from you. Awesome. Have a great day. Talk to you later.